This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is retired U.S. Air Force General Tom McInerney. He's also a Fox News military analyst. And during his active duty service in uniform, he was engaged in activities against the forces of radical Islam. And General, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
We want to get your thoughts on a couple of major stories related to the war on terror. And we start with the story that first began more than 20 years ago, 1988, Pan Am 103. Blown up by terrorists over Lockerbie, Scotland, 259 people killed on board, 11 more on the ground. In the intervening two decades, only one person has ever been convicted of being a conspirator or carrying out that plot against the airliner, which killed well over 100 Americans. Now today, a Scottish judge on compassionate or humanitarian grounds, because this bomber is now dying of prostate cancer, releases him from a Scottish prison. What is your reaction to this? What kind of message does this send?
I am abhorred at the conduct of this Scottish judge, that he would have, quote, compassion for somebody who killed 259 people on board and though plus additional people on the ground. I remember that very well, Greg. And so any time I see this, quote, compassion when there was none for the people that he killed, then I deeply resent it. I just think it's abhorrent, and we should continue to express our outrage at such conduct.
What do you make of his statement where he basically, as he was being released, still denied any involvement whatsoever in the attack?
Well, I think that that's just his way of not being willing to ask for forgiveness or show any compassion on these people. And I'm completely convinced that they had more than enough data to do what they did and to try him and to find him guilty. So I'm not happy at all about that, as you can as reasonably understand.
Absolutely. I don't think anyone in this country is very happy about this. General, in terms of the message this may send in our current situation in the fight against radical Islam, is there a message that the enemy takes from this, or is this an isolated incident from a previous problem?
No, it's the same problem. The people that did this were part of radical Islam, even though they were in Libya. And the fact is that we should understand that when we do things like this in the West, it is appeasing our adversaries. And the radical Islamists see appeasement as weakness, and so it spurs them on to do more of it. This is very, very dangerous, in my opinion.
General, before we move on to the situation in Iraq and Afghanistan, I just want to get your thoughts on Libya, because obviously in the 1980s they were a major sponsor of terrorism. It seems as though they've amended their ways. They even gave up their weapons of mass destruction program, as far as we know, after the invasion of Iraq. Do you sense that that nation is considerably different than it was a couple decades ago, even though the same leadership is in place, or should we be still very cautious of them?
Well, I think we've got to be cautious, though it is, in fact, different. They provided us with a treasure trove of nuclear secrets and the different ways they were getting this nuclear technology. So I do think that they're moving in a different direction, which is good for us, but we always have to be aware and be sensitive to what's going on because they could change quickly on us.
As I mentioned, General, the other thing I wanted to bring to your attention and get your reaction to is the security situation in Iraq and Afghanistan. Today, the presidential election in Afghanistan, the voter turnout not as good as it was 5 years ago. The Taliban was trying to disrupt the voting process, and there were over two dozen people killed today. Your thoughts on what President Karzai is calling a successful day and a valid vote? Is this about what we expected, or should we be disappointed that it didn't go smoother?
Well, I think we should be disappointed that it didn't go smoother, but also realize in reality that this was a great threat to the Taliban and the other radical Islamist groups in that part of the world. So they went all out to try to stop it. And we, as I saw the numbers look like they're down maybe 40%. They're not in finally yet, but they're down about, say, 40%. And so I think that that's one of those things that, you know, you hope it will work out. It didn't work out as well, but they still had it. And that's important because the people in Iran haven't been able to square that away. So that's a signal. That's one of the reasons why the radical Islamists tried to stop this election going in Afghanistan as much as they did.
Why was it such a huge priority? Obviously, they want to be back in charge like they were before the U.S. went in 2001, and they don't want a new government to be well established. But what is it about this election in particular that they fear so much?
Well, first of all, they do not want a legitimate elected government there. Radical Islam does not want that. It's an anathema to them. And so when you have people that can vote freely, this sends a signal throughout the whole region. That's very important, and particularly to its next-door neighbor, Iran, who everybody knows, and particularly the Iranian people know, that it was a crooked election, that the mullahs would not hold a legal, fair election. And so when you see a country like Afghanistan that is, you know, centuries behind Iran, and they're able to hold one, that sends a signal to the people of Iran as well as the people in Iraq and throughout the rest of the region. Hey, we can hold legitimate elections and people can be elected freely. So that's a signal that they never want to see. And that's why they've made the issue so much in Iraq. But fortunately, we had enough force structure there and were bedded down better. And it wasn't nearly as difficult an area to maintain control as Afghanistan is.
General, you mentioned Iraq, so let's talk about that. Of course, at the end of June, U.S. troops pulling out of the major metropolitan areas in Iraq. And earlier this week, we saw the most coordinated and deadly bombing by the insurgents and the radical Islamists since then. Six or seven bombs ripping massive explosions near government buildings, nearly 100 people killed, about 500 injured. Obviously, it's a different response now with the Iraqis in charge of security. What were you most interested in analyzing and observing with that massive attack on just the other day?
Well, I think al-Maliki, the prime minister, overplayed his hand a little bit in his hubris to think that they could do it all by themselves. And as the reports are coming out of Baghdad right now, they did not call on the Americans after they were struck to give them aid and assist them with the casualties and stabilizing the area that was attacked. I think this is a big mistake. I think al-Maliki should be held accountable. He hasn't done this very well, and so his overconfidence is going to make it difficult, I believe, for Iraq in the future to be stable. And that's very troublesome for all the money and lives and effort we've put in if he blows this one. So I'm very disappointed in the way he has conducted himself and the way the Iraqi security forces have to let that happen. Now, it could have happened under our forces, I understand that. But there are certain indications that Maliki is not taking this security issue nearly as serious as he should.
Well, General, it's certainly a number of major issues that we'll keep track of. I know you will also. Thank you, sir, as always, for your time today.
Thank you, Greg.
Retired U.S. Air Force General Tom McInerney. He's also a Fox News military analyst. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.